God's grace is simply a gift. It's not a medal you earn at any point. And God's grace is not about where you rank in life, but literally how you receive His life.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 19.
Welcome to See Here Love and the third week, the last week of our very special three-part Bible series called Jesus's Encounters with Women. And last week, we listened and learned about Jesus's encounter with the woman with the alabaster jar. And our first week, we listened and learned about Jesus's encounter with the woman with the issue of blood. Both conversations moving, aha, amazing. And this week, we'll be learning about the woman at the well and her encounter with Jesus. Now, we'd love for you to follow along. If you haven't already done so, please download our free Bible study guide at seeherelove.com/Jesus Encounter Study. Prayers, writing, all kinds of things in here for you to follow along and learn with us. And our panel, welcome back. This is it. This is the third and final of the series. How have you been?
Oh, good. This has been so rich.
You don't want it to end.
So true. Yeah.
Well, I have to introduce you because, of course, an honor and privilege to learn and lean in together. Cheryl Nemhard, international speaker, author, podcaster, TV host, and social justice advocate, and currently the director of the Women Speakers Collective, empowering women's voices worldwide.
Honored to be here.
Yes, and looking forward to your teaching. Anne Voskamp.
It's okay.
Mom of seven, four times New York Times bestselling author, blogger, international speaker, and wife to one fine Canadian farmer. So hello.
So grateful to be here. Thank you, Melinda.
Yes. And Dr. Beth Green, provost and chief academic officer of Tyndale University in Toronto, a fellow of the Royal Society of the Arts, graduate of Oxford, Cambridge, and London universities. And you were a former school teacher, and you know all about social theory and education, teaching and learning, and so much more. So we're so glad you're here and grateful for this conversation as we continue into our Jesus Encounters Women series. Cheryl, the woman at the well.
Goodness.
In John 4, 1 to 42.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's learn.
Yeah. You know, I want to pick it up. I just feel like there's a couple of scriptures I'd love to start off with. And this picks up for us at 7, verse 7, where he says, "Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said, 'You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink?' And I'll end here. Jesus replied, 'If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water.'" Well, the story of the Samaritan woman is a powerful one for me. It's actually, it feels like my life story in many ways. There's so many layers to this. But in this text, we see, I focused on what I thought was a word for all of us, how Jesus breaks through barriers for us. So in this text, we see Jesus breaking through geographical barriers, societal barriers, cultural, gender, spiritual barriers to reach this woman, but he also breaks through her internal barriers to restore her. So breaks through all of it to reach her, but then does something really powerful within her to restore her. Let's just talk about the geographical barrier for a second. I love verse 4, where it says, Jesus, but he had to go through Samaria. I love that. I love this verse because Jews often avoided Samaria altogether, and Jesus went out of his way to get in the way of her. You need to know that Jews considered Samaritans unclean, called am ha'aretha, and that's important because it's actually the same phrase they use to describe lepers. That's the level of uncleanness, if you will, that they saw them at. Wow. Jews considered that even the Samaritans shadow crossing them would make them unclean. So the fastest route from Judea to Galilee was through Samaria, but because of deep hostility, Jews and those that were religious always went around completely to avoid contact. But the Bible says Jesus had to go through Samaria. I don't think it's because of logistics, and I don't think it's because of any geographical thing. I know it's because he had a divine appointment with her. And so it's beautiful to see how Jesus broke that. And then we look at cultural and societal and gender barriers in verse 7. Jesus does something shocking. He speaks to a Samaritan woman, guys, alone. That's a double no-no. Mm-hmm. He sends his disciples away to buy food, which I believe is very intentional. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. And he makes his way to Jacob's well and sits and waits for her. Jesus waits for us. And she arrives and he initiates a conversation by asking her for a drink. We know that no rabbi should ever initiate a conversation with a Samaritan, much less a woman. And not only that, he wants to drink from her vessel. So many things broken there.
Right.
In Jewish culture, men and women do not interact publicly like this. Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus sees her. In the interaction, he shows value. He dignifies her with a conversation. And in that moment, Jesus not only shows value, but he breaks through and shows us that cultural, societal, gender barriers, all the walls that would divide us mean nothing in his sight and mean nothing in the kingdom of God. And then he does what I really am drawn to. He breaks through the internal emotional barriers. Mm. Let's talk about this woman of Samaria. In their conversation, Jesus reveals that the woman's past, she's got five husbands, currently in a relationship outside. Mm. And this could be a combination of like multiple divorces, rejection, possible widowhood. In this culture, you need to know. Mm. Because she's been painted a harlot. I've heard this, and kind of a loosey-goosey woman. Men divorced women. Women could not divorce men. This is important.
Wow, yeah,
and they can divorce women for any reason. It could be that she couldn't bear children. She ruined a meal. She was physically abnormal. So you can't even imagine the feelings of rejection, deep shame and woundedness that she carried. Also, she chose to go in the blazing sun at noon, which is not the norm. Jewish women drew water at sunrise in the cool of the day. So to avoid the gossip, avoid the shame, avoid the poor treatment, she was willing to go alone. Jesus offers her little living water, a deeper satisfaction that can only come from him. He sees the depth of her brokenness and still and yet invites her into a relationship. And in this moment, when he poses her situation, she reveals the truth of her situation and he reveals his. Mm-hmm. And this is very special. In verse 26, for the first time ever, he openly declares himself as the Messiah to her, the lowest of the low. The unclean of the unclean, the casted out of the cast outs. He reveals himself by saying, I am he. This monumental moment is the first recorded where Jesus directly reveals his identity. Wow. I just love this moment. And there's so many things here, but I just wanted to stop here for a minute because I think there's something beautiful about all of the things that Jesus broke through to reach her and how he saw her despite all of her brokenness and shame and loved her anyway. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, guys, as we're sitting in this, what is coming up for you as you're thinking about this encounter, this woman of Samaria, ISO'd, living on her own, cast away, probably lots of names and things being called about her. She just avoids the crowds to the point of her own danger and harm by going alone in the blazing sun.
Yeah.
And meets the one who will change her forever. What do you think, Beth? What's coming up for you?
Oh, wow. Thank you. I could have just sat and listened for all afternoon. I just want to say that I think you did such a beautiful job of painting like the barriers around this woman and the way that she lives a life in isolation. Mm. And so what that did for me was really contrasted with I was listening to the conversation that Jesus has with her, because he talks to her as an equal. Mm. It's a real battle of the wits. Mm. Like, she knows her stuff.
Yes.
She's in that passage, she says things to Jesus like, we're worshiping at the right place. What, you know, like she called, and he kind of like jostles with her. And even though he can see into her soul, he gives her that kind of space to hide, reveal. And I think that just really stood out to me, that he has not judged her the way his culture would judge her, that society would judge her. Mm-hmm. I get the impression he's rather enjoying this conversation and kind of, you
a
know.
A little banter.
Yeah, exactly. Back and that's, that's unexpected. Mm. So thank you, Cheryl.
And it really humanizes Jesus. It like sometimes we tend to put Jesus in a different light, but this is like, well, he's having full conversation.
Well, he's shown up for this.
He has shown up and she has too.
Yes.
And they're having some good conversation. I'd like that.
I love that. And what about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the study that I did on John 4 just really revealed that some Pharisees on the streets were called the bruised Pharisees, because they preferred to close their eyes when they were walking down the street so they wouldn't accidentally lay their eyes on a woman. But Jesus is the rabbi who looks the hurting woman right in the eye.
That's right.
To heal the parts of her that are bruised. Okay. And Jesus is the rabbi who looks at her, the bruised woman, and he breaks down those walls, those barriers, and says, no one is too messed up to drink God's grace right down. Yeah. And just to realize that to drinking down the grace of God, it's a gift of God. You don't have to earn it. To actually, God's grace is simply a gift. It's not a medal you earn at any point. And God's grace is not about where you rank in life, but literally how you receive His life. So I was just really moved that He was inviting her. So powerful. In the book of John, he's revealing who he is, his divinity. Mm-hmm. In the midst of his humanity, you've got the seven I ams through the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the light of the world.
Yes.
And here he is revealing that he is Messiah.
Yeah, huge.
To who?
Yes.
He's revealing his divinity, which echoes what happens when he is resurrected from the dead at the tomb and steps out. Who does he first reveal himself to as the risen, resurrected Lord? Again, to women. Mm-hmm. And sends them as the first evangelists. So again, here in John 4, you've got Jesus again revealing who he is as Messiah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To a woman, not just a Jewish woman, but a woman, a Samaritan woman, completely on the marginalized and oppressed and dismissed. Mm-hmm. So how does God reveal himself to those of us who feel marginalized? Yeah. How is he revealing himself to us as women?
Yes.
That we are the ones who are called and sent to go and say, I have seen the Messiah.
Yeah,
I have drank living water.
Yeah.
Even me with all of my past, that I could be blamed and shamed, that I have five husbands, so I did something wrong. Well, wait, that's not really the whole context of that story.
Right. Yeah.
But I can receive the living water of Christ. How can I not then go and tell of the man who's living water?
Yeah.
Wow. What about you, Matt?
Oh, so many things. I think as you're talking, Cheryl, I took a moment when you said that most of the time Jewish people go around Samaria.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking. We don't know all of the pre-work that's going on. Like, he made the plan to go through with probably knowing he was going to meet her.
Yes.
So there's a lot of like, the Jesus God divine knowing ahead the plans for us and the way that he will break barriers. And not only that encounter in verse 39, which I know I didn't get to, but it says, after he said, go, you know, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony.
Yes.
Verse 39.
Yes.
And so here's this Jesus being very intentional going into Samaria. I think, telling disciples to go away. Right? So that he can have a one-on-one, deeply intimate conversation. And maybe not to shame her as well. Well, she talks about the five men and the one that's not even her husband. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, all the breaking of the barriers. You talked about the internal barrier, the gender barrier, the geographical barrier. Like, boom,
societal,
boom. This is societal. This is who Jesus is. So we can make, as humans, our constructs, our systems, our barriers to either protect to control. And Jesus goes, I'm going to go right to Samaria. I'm going to walk right there. I'm going to meet with this woman. I'm going to sit down and talk to her. She's going to draw me water. All the things that I'm not supposed to do, I will do.
Yeah.
Because of my deep love and my deep desire to see her and know that she is seen. Mm-hmm. My deep desire to have conversation and banter.
Yes.
And actually call her out. Like, are you actually going to speak the truth when I say go talk to your husband? And she's like, I don't have a husband. This is the part that always is a standout for me. I don't have a husband. And Jesus is like, I know. Not didn't he laugh, but he's like, I know. He's not. Like, it's so human. Yeah. It's so relatable. Mm. It's so a way of connecting. And so the standout in that conversation was key. The standout that her testimony caused so many Samaritans to believe in Jesus was huge. And I think, again, the tenderness, the love, and the seeing. Like, he's looking at her, you know, in her eyes and just taking her all in.
Yeah.
When you think about the barrier of shame, that I have to come at noon because I can't be seen by anyone out.
Right, yes, and the
people
blazing
will gossip
heat,
and the shame. And Jesus looks her right in the eye to break that barrier of shame. Deep comfort in that for all of us.
Mm. Cheryl, for you.
Yeah, I love alliteration, so, but I'm going to go in a kind of a different way. I think sometimes what we slander as scandalous could really be someone just in survival mode.
So good.
If you think about the context of how women and men lived and how a woman could not feel safe, protected, cared for, fed, could barter, trade, there's a lot of things women couldn't do without a man.
Yeah.
And so men weren't just husbands, they were covering, they were protection, source of nutrients and the way to feel safe. And so, if a woman is without a man, it was a scandal, it was a stain. And so they would look to find. And so, is it possible that this woman was just trying to find safety in a man? And what we call this loose woman is a woman that's just trying to survive and live. Mm-hmm. And what I love is that Jesus sees her, for whatever the reasons are of all of that, all of those relationships, but he clears the room. I have to say this. Jesus is intentional in everything he does. There was a reason he sent his disciples away, to avoid the judgmental gaze. Yeah. Yes, they are followers of Christ, but they're still men. It's entrenched in their being. Their rabbinical prayer is, God, I thank you that I am not made a woman.
Yeah.
That was their holy prayer. And so can you imagine God doesn't just break through barriers, but he will remove barriers to see us and to connect with us. Heart to heart.
Boom, boom, and boom.
Boom, boom, and boom.
That's it. No, but that really is. And I think that is like this story.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about in the first, series, the first study, like in the text, 42 verses of this written in the text.
Yeah.
This is huge.
It's huge.
This is huge to actually say these things. It's like, this is in the Bible, significant.
Yeah. And it's one of the longest conversations that Jesus has.
Well, 42, listen. 1 to 40, was it 2?
42.
42, yeah.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See, Hear, Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See, Hear, Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See, Hear, Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See, Hear, Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See, Hear, Lovely and join our See, Hear, Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
Well, I would love to know, you guys, because this is just so rich. I don't even know what you're going to say. I'm just going to strap in here. How does this encounter with Jesus inspire you to live differently, I wonder?
Hmm.
And I think I'm going to go to Anne. What are your thoughts there?
I think I'm so moved. She had to keep coming every day mm-hmm. to the well for water. Mm-hmm. We need water all of the time. Our bodies, like, what, 60, 70% of our bodies is made up of water. Mm-hmm. We are craving water all of the time. Yeah. And Jesus says, I am living water. Mm-hmm. Come to me and you'll, like, think of, you'll never thirst again.
Yeah.
And I think I'm convicted of how, where are my wells in my life that I keep going to thinking that these are going to actually quench where I'm parched.
That's good.
And I wonder, why am I still thirsty? And I keep going to the wrong well
mm-hmm.
instead of going to this well, mm-hmm. going wow. to the person of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So can I see when I have cravings in my life, whether it's for comfort, whether it's for a safe place to share parts of my heart, mm-hmm. where is the well that I want to go to truly be filled? And it says in Revelations 21, verse 6 in the Message, from the water of life well, I freely give to the thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And that we say, you know, because the soul needs spiritual water, the way of Christ is ultimately necessary because the soul literally dies without the only one who is living water.
Yeah.
So the way of Jesus is exclusionary because he's the only one who gives real living water. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
So
good.
Where's
love
my
that.
Well?
Love that.
Where is
love
my
that.
Well?
Where is my well?
That is so good. Well? Where is my well?
Beth,
I'm writing this for like t-shirts and stickers. Every series, every study, I've written something.
Like, I love it.
The muchness, where is my well? I got it all written down.
Beth, what about you?
Where do I start? I think for me, the thirsty really stood out. And I sometimes wonder if, just because of the privilege I enjoy, whether I've experienced that kind of deep thirst.
So
I think many of us who, you know, have had the benefits of being born where we are, and you know, we haven't experienced some of those barriers you articulated. And yet, for women in the majority of the world, that's actually, you know, the access to things like education and basic healthcare and water are it's not available. And so, am I thirsty enough? Is kind of where I went with that. Yeah. But I think the other thing was just the sheer expansiveness of the kingdom that Jesus is bringing in its fullness. Like, it's bigger than I think it is. It's bigger than the people at the time thought it was. And just that he would go, as you said, out of his way to demonstrate that point, that the kingdom of God, that this gift is for everyone who seeks it, even if they're not from the chosen tribe or nation.
That's
or
right.
I'm really kind of sitting with that, because if the Holy Spirit is the well that we're drawing from, if that thirst is getting quenched, the testimony, like, she runs to tell people who have probably made her life hell about this man that she's met, who can tell her everything she ever did. Am I running? Am I running to share this and going to the corners that I think, you know, maybe Jesus doesn't care about? There are no such corners.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh, my goodness. Melinda, what about you?
Oh, you know, back to that verse 39 where she, you know, after you have an encounter with Jesus, you cannot not share.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
You have to not share. I can just imagine, as Beth was saying, the look on their faces. What are you talking about? A man, Messiah, talk to you? Like, just imagine. Mm-hmm. And she's saying, yeah. And he said, he's the living water. He's the Messiah. We worship him. We don't have to go to a certain place. Mm-hmm. It's like, so she's saying this, and here's what's amazing. In that, her neighbors and people are listening and believe.
Yes.
Like, they actually are like, what? That's transformative. What are you saying? And it says later in the scripture, they then met and followed Jesus. And it was like the testimony started it, but then they believed on their own after they then encountered Jesus. So she shares the testimony. They're like, we have to meet him. They go. Then they're like, oh, even more so. And imagine multiplying them going out and telling their family, their neighbors, this Messiah, living water, talks to those, this woman, my neighbor, who has had 5, 6 men. He talked to her. Can you imagine the women in the town? Can you? Are you serious?
The
gossip? And then you know how many women ran to the well? Probably like, we need to go in the blazing heat now. We may meet Jesus and the Messiah. So I just, her engagement, her then getting it and then sharing, I think for me, living differently, Cheryl, is okay. You know, the story, am I as passionate to run out and tell people how Jesus has engaged with me, seen me, been with me, and has changed literally my life in our relationship?
I think the t-shirt needs to be at the front.
Okay.
Where is my well?
Okay, where is
and
my well?
And on the back side of the t-shirt, it says, who am I running to tell?
Oh, and it's even rhymes a bit. Yes. Okay, I get it.
Yes. I love it.
We got a marketer. Okay, this is a whole other thing now. We got merch coming out of this.
If you've been to the well, how can you not run to tell?
Tell. Yeah. That's a good one. So, yes, I love it. So that's what I think it is. I think just, again, a reminder, we can't keep it here.
Yeah.
Can't keep it in the studio. Yeah. Can't keep it with our like-minded friends. We need to go out.
Love that. Yeah.
Jesus has changed me. Cheryl, for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to sit in this moment right here, verse 11. Jesus here is giving this invitation and revealing himself to her and saying, if you only knew the gift of God that's in front of you, if you understood, and look at her response. But you don't have a rope. You don't have a bucket. This well is deep. Where would you get this living water? And I'm reminded here that there are so many things that God wants to do in us and through us. And we have a laundry list of why it couldn't possibly be, and this doesn't make sense, and all these limiting beliefs that we give Jesus, and Jesus, like, do you first of all, do you know who you're talking to?
Right.
Like, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
And so I feel like just for someone today, no more limiting beliefs, no more telling God why it's not possible, but just trusting that he wants to do something new and fresh and transformative in you, and that you're worthy of it. You're worthy of it. Receive it. Receive the gift.
And that moment when she's like, everybody has condemned me, judged me for my life, and here's Jesus like, I know about it.
Yeah.
I know about it.
And
yet,
still,
and still.
And still.
Beautiful. I love it. Thank you. This was rich, powerful, deeply moving. There are so many things. Again, go back to the scriptures reading, you know, for John 4, 1 to 42.
That's right.
I think I need to go back and read it again and glean more information. There's lots of space in our guidebook to do that. I think the best thing now is to wrap this up in prayer. I think it's for this, but also for the series. We've done three Jesus encounters with women. And so, Anne, why don't you pray for us at this time?
Oh, Abba Father, we just thank you, Jesus, that you came with such grace and with such compassion, that you would look to our bruised places and look us in the eye. And there is no shame. You break that barrier of shame because of the cross. You take all of the brokenness and give us all of your perfectness. Lord, we want to drink from the well of you. We want to thirst for more of you. We want to run and tell others of you, Lord. We just thank you for the testimony of the woman with the issue of blood, for the woman with the alabaster jar, for the Samaritan woman at the well, Lord. That as you see them, you see us, you hear us, you love us, and you call us to go and tell other sisters the good news of the living water, the man who knew everything about us and yet still loved us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, the only one who has ever loved us to death and back to the realest life in his name. Amen.
Amen. Just quickly, really short. We finished the series. Highlight or just a quick moment or learning in this whole series?
I'll say that Jesus specializes in using the least of people to do great things in his kingdom.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I am so moved by Jesus' gracious compassion that it loans me such courage to step out into a hurting world and to pass that compassion on.
Pay attention to the women in the Bible, because they see Jesus for who he is. Often they see that first.
Wow. Privilege and honor to be around the table with you for these three wonderful sharing of story, scripture, and Jesus. I'm so grateful for you, Cheryl and Beth. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm speechless because there's so many great things to say, but I want to thank the Canadian Bible Society for their sponsorship in making this series possible. And again, if you haven't already done so and you've come in sort of in the middle, make sure you sign up for our Bible study guide at seeherlove.com/Jesus Encounters Study. And also make sure you go to seeherlove.com. You'll find all about these amazing panelists there. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can listen to our podcast. You can download more of our free Bible study guides. You can watch our past shows and ways to join our community. So make sure you go to seeherlove.com. And for behind the scenes, because there's been tons throughout this whole series of us sharing our thoughts and things. Follow us on Instagram for inspiration, what we're up to, and where I'm speaking across Canada today. So thanks for joining us throughout our entire Jesus's Encounters with Women Bible series. We hope you learned a lot from our teachings and conversations. And may these stories, these encounters that Jesus had with the woman at the well, the woman with the alabaster jar, and the woman with the issue of blood, inspire to follow Jesus and to really see people and know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.